Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
This is Radio Influence. The future is now.
When you are looking for the best box coverage, why not go to someone who's actually been on the field?
B-U-C-C-A-N-E-E-R-S. Go Bucks!
This is the only podcast for the Buccaneers by a Buccaneer. You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Welcome back to In the Trenches. This is Ian Beckles, and it is a joyous Monday. Buccaneers win second game in a row against the mighty, mighty Dolphins. My sentiments are a lot like they were last week. First of all, it's enjoyable to watch your team win. And as I didn't believe they were going to beat the Jets, I thought the Buccaneers were going to beat the Dolphins. I thought the Buccaneers were a better football team than the Dolphins, and I think they showed that yesterday. Now, coming up with two wins is wonderful, but if you listen to last week's In the Trenches, what I tell everybody, if you kind of look at things with a grain of salt or kind of look in between the lines a little bit, it's a lot of the same thing going to be said this week. There's a lot of things the Buccaneers did well this week, and there's a lot of things that need to be improved immediately or they won't continue to win. Now, they were good enough yesterday to beat the Miami Dolphins in their house. The Miami Dolphins are a very, very poor football team. Defensively, they're poor. I think they had given up 112 points in the previous three games. So I saw the Buccaneers. I made a prediction that was going to be 40-21. And, you know, they scored 30. It was 30-20, which was actually closer than that. But I think there was points left on the field for the Buccaneers. Jason here was at the game in Miami and was saying how DeSean Jackson was open all day long. It's really hard for us to see from the vantage point that we have watching television because you can't see the whole field. Like, you have to go get the All-22 or something like that to really see what's really happening out there. But DeSean Jackson, his numbers are getting better, but the frustration is still creeping in. And it's okay as long as you're winning. When you start losing again, that's when it becomes a problem. Because DeSean Jackson came here to go to the playoffs and hopefully go to the Super Bowl. And it hasn't obviously been that way to this point. So the Buccaneers get it done. Fitzpatrick played good football, played winning football. Winning football. When Jameis is better, Jameis is going to be the quarterback. I mean, that's been the question. I've been asked that quite a few times. Hey, what happens if Fitzpatrick wins three games in a row? Well, you know what? If he wins three games in a row, they'll do it with Kuth, but they'll tell Jameis you need another week. But that's the way they do it. It's not a rush to get Jameis back because this team's not going to the playoffs. I mean, if you think that beating the Jets and then the Dolphins equates to running the table, it doesn't. It doesn't. Because there's some really tough football ahead, including the Falcons coming up, who hit on all cylinders all the time, it seems like. So it's going to get harder. In the first drive that the Dolphins had, it was a 60-something-odd run. Those are the little things that the Buccaneers need to take care of if they want to start winning on a consistent basis. If you remember the Buccaneers way back when they played the cover two, they were always in the right gaps. To see a running back run straight up the football field for 60-something yards without getting touched, that's a lot of bad gap relation. The three technique got washed. That was Gerald McCoy. Nobody substituted for the B gap, and there was a humongous hole. The second the running back went through the hole, I go, oh, boy. And if he had some more wheels, he'd have been gone. Those are little things that have to be cleaned up or else you don't continue to win. You can't give up big plays like that. At the end of the day, the defense played well. I thought they played well. I thought they were flying around the field. I saw some emotion out there. But there's a times where we play unsound football. And if you want to win on a consistent basis, we won two games, but we don't win on a consistent basis yet. That's if you think you're going to become a championship team, you got to win more than two games in a row against poor football teams. But defensively, I thought they passed rush a little bit better. I thought 2 weeks in a row, Gerald McCoy played better than his statistics. That's what we want to see. when Gerald McCoy plays well, we win. We do. And the games where he's silent seems to be the games where we lose. So he's a difference maker. There's no doubt when he plays well. And Brett Grimes is also a difference maker. We're a better football team when he's on the football field. I saw people running around the field yesterday with some fire under them. That the interception by Evans, I mean, that's a big-time – it's a big-time read, big-time interception, big-time catch, a big-time play. That's what the Buccaneers used to do back in the day. The way the Buccaneers used to play is when the quarterback wants to throw across his body like Cutler did. Here comes Kwon Alexander. Back in the day, it used to be Derrick Brooks. But these guys are starting to utilize their speed and the knowledge that they're really acquiring as they go along. And it's starting to show. Still some holes. Still some holes out there. Still some plays that could have been made out there. But that's the way it goes. And you have to be uber critical if you want to continue to win. Before the game, I said, you know, it's essential to start getting O.J. Howard involved in the regular offense. We've seen before yesterday, and he was fantastic within the regular system, and that's what we need. It seemed like before Dirk Cutter was doing what he could to do misdirection stuff and kind of get him open, and it was working for some big plays, but I want to see O.J. Howard to where he looks like he's going to catch 80 balls a season, and he looked like that player yesterday. He had a drop, which needs to stop. There was a few drops from the Buccaneers. Adam Humphries drops the ball every week, and he's supposed to have the best hands on the team. He missed a crucial ball at the end of that game. You got to put that game away. That's the thing. Well, when you win, you feel good about yourself. You're happy. But there's a few things when they watch film that's going to make them sick because, you know, when you're up 20-13 and the Dolphins have the ball, 4.5 minutes left, and you're on defense, you got to get off the damn field, man. You got to get off the field and end that game. End the game. That's what great teams do. The team is growing up a little bit, but there's still things that they need to do late in the football game to establish themselves. I thought the refereeing yesterday was god-awful. I saw so many phantom calls. They were saying what they were on TV, and I kept on rewinding looking for it. I know there was a DeMar Dotson a holding call. I was like, I don't see it. There's on both sides now. I'm not a homer. I see on both sides. There was a holding penalty on Ndamukong Suh that I couldn't see. If I watched it 3-4 times, I couldn't see that. And there was a couple other just phantom funky calls. And I mean, it wasn't like it was one-sided. It was happening on both sides. But I thought the officiating was really, really terrible yesterday. Now, some things we did well. I thought we kept a steady pressure, which is good. It's been a long time since we said that. Offensively, our pass protection is shoddy. Those defensive line, like, we're going to play some beastly defensive lines coming up here in the next little while. Donovan Smith is back out there, and this has got to be Donovan Smith's fifth year, maybe, something like that. Third year for Donovan Smith. If I would tell you he's a rookie and you watch his film, you would say, yeah, that makes sense. He does some rookie crap. Sometimes it's footwork. I don't even know where it comes from. I have no idea. But he puts himself in some really, really bad situations sometimes. And you know what they result in? Holding penalties. I mean, if your footwork's jacked up and your hands are jacked up, that's when you're going to have freaking holding penalties. And lots of them. You know, as a whole, up and down, you know, they kept on talking about grades and, you know, how Arlie Marpet gets the best grade. I didn't think he played great 2 weeks ago. I didn't see anything glaring yesterday. I think DeMar Dotson has to be the most consistent pass blocker out there. On a run, I think he could be more physical. Probably they all can. But as a pass blocker, he's been holding his own pretty darn well throughout the season. He's got those long arms, and I tell you what, this is his ninth year, and, you know, I talked to him in the offseason. He could play another 2-3 years. He could play another 2-3 years out there, make himself some good money. And not like he's not getting paid well right now. But as a whole, the offensive line, you can't be happy. You can be happy with the win, always. I want to always preface that by saying we won the game. Great. That's wonderful. But going into November and December, and you want to go into January, we won't, but we want to. If you can't run the football, it's going to be a long day. That was the kind of defense that you could not run the football and still beat. We're going to play some defenses along the way here in their house where if we can't run the football, we're going to be slaughtered. And yesterday, Doug Martin, 19 touches for 38 yards. And I never thought Doug Martin was a special running back, but you don't have to be special to get 4 yards a carry, do you? But that's 2 yards a carry. And the other running backs collectively had 6 yards. I think two carries for 6 yards. So first of all, we're not attempting. We're out there and we're not attempting enough runs, because good enough yesterday won't be good enough down the way. Won't be good enough. We have to get more physical up front as an offense. That's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting because at the end of the game, when we need to get those yards and the third and threes, there's some teams that line up third and three, line up and just run it right down your craw, right down your face. And those are the teams that will excel in November and December and January. And that's something that we have to kind of try to develop, and we haven't developed that enough yet. Now, all this crap that's going on out there with Jameis Winston, and I was talking about it today. I was filling in for Mike Calta on the Bone. It's so hard sometimes to comment on a situation that you weren't there, okay? Anything could have happened. I have no idea what happened. I have no idea. But I know this, especially Jameis Winston with his history, you have to do your darndest, young man, to stay out of that situation. You have to do your darndest to not have your name in the paper. You have to do your darndest to not have your name on ESPN, because that's what's going to happen. Whether you did it or not, they're going to add this to the list of stuff, whether you did it or not. And unfortunately for Jameis, when you do something like this and there's allegations, is it funky? Yeah, it stinks to all hell. I mean, it stinks. Something about it stinks. Now they're going to rehash everything. That's what happens. They're going to come back and they're going to talk about the alleged rapes and the this and the crab legs and blah, blah, blah. They're going to bring it back up. And I don't know, obviously Jameis was injured, but before Jameis got injured, he was still a little bit off. I thought mentally he was a little bit off. I'm not sure this is not affecting him. I don't know for a fact. If you know something's about to surface, when you get that feeling in your stomach, that's not good for anything. So I'm not sure if maybe him waiting for this coming out didn't affect his play. I don't know. But I've never seen anybody plummet from a pinnacle that quick. I mean, Jameis Winston was on Rushmore. Now, all of a sudden, it's like you're in 4 weeks, it got to a point where questioning, the future. I have people asking me, is Ryan Fitzpatrick going to continue to start? No. If Jameis Winston's on the football team and Jameis Winston's healthy, Jameis Winston's going to be the quarterback. Why? Because he gives you the best chance to win. That's why. You got to let him play out of this funk. Jameis Winston has a big old picture on the side of the stadium. Jameis Winston's on probably most of the tickets, football tickets. And it's Jameis Winston's team. If Jameis Winston isn't the future, then we're in trouble, because when this season started, the one thing we weren't worried about was quarterback. We weren't worried about it. So if we weren't worrying about it back then, we can't worry about it now, because he didn't play enough poor games for us to say he can play. We've seen Jameis Winston play a lot of good games already. We were 9-7 last year. Statistically, I thought he played well last year. He's certainly been off this year. But he showed enough football that to know he can play. And I'm telling you, sitting out and watching and observing almost always benefits an athlete, just period. When he comes back in, things are going to slow down a little bit for him, because he's always been on the field. So in essence, he really just turned into a coach the last 2-3 weeks, where he's sitting back and watching the little things that are important. And when he comes back and plays, he's going to be a better football player. I'm telling you. It happened to me before, and I came back and I felt I was a substantially better football player. Now, There was a couple funky calls, too, with the safety. I thought that was a safety. I don't know if that was a bad call or what. I thought that was a bad call. Fourth and one, they had a big hold at the end of the game. The Buccaneers did. That's huge. You like to see that. You know, the Buccaneers aren't the stoutest team, so it's like to see them jamming up people. Once again, defensively, when you have the chance to end the game, you have to end it. And when you look back at this football game, and there's some things we did well, there are, but you let a team with four turnovers and 17 penalties take you to overtime. That means there's a certain flaw somewhere. Something's not quite right. Four turnovers and 17 penalties. That game is not supposed to go to overtime against anybody. Even a good football team. Well, you know what? Good football teams don't get 17 penalties. They just don't. 17 penalties and four turnovers, and the game is tied. That's tough sledding. That's tough sledding. Now, a few people I saw grow up a little bit. This kid Godwin, I'm starting to like him. I'm starting to like this kid Godwin. Now, obviously, Mike Evans is the man. DeSean Jackson is still, I believe, worth every single penny we gave him. And hopefully by the end of the season, he's going to be, you know, show us his worth. And I think this kid Godwin is kind of developing into that strong number three. And then we have O.J. Howard growing up as well. If Jameis Winston can get himself right and get the chemistry with these young, all these names I'm saying are young kids, like very young, this offense has a nucleus of being great for a while. But that's going to be based on Jameis Winston, his health, his mental health, him staying out of trouble. I mean, literally, you should put this kid, put Jameis Winston in a plastic bubble so he doesn't get in any trouble anymore. Because in this day and age, boy, I tell you what, people rat you out so quick. And if you, the names that are coming out now, you know, with the Harvey Weinstein in Hollywood, and now everybody's name starting to come out, people are uber sensitive right now. I mean, really, really sensitive. So don't put yourself in that situation. Did he do anything? I don't know. But usually people don't file grievances because nothing happened. Something happened. Did Jameis do it? Don't know. I have no idea. You know, there was the Uber driver said that Jameis was the only person in the car, and now we're hearing that there was three people in the car. So something's funky. Something stinks. Somebody's lying, and they'll get to the bottom of it. I mean, they always do. And what I would tell, advice-wise, I would tell Jameis Winston is, in the meantime, sit your narrow ass home. Sit your ass at home. Nobody wants to hear you going out. They know. The most important thing for you right now is staying out of trouble. And listen, I understand that young kids, I used to be a young kid. I used to go out. I get it. I used to hang out, you know, once or twice a week, but it's not worth it anymore. I mean, there's too many predators out there. There's so many predators waiting for you to F up, waiting for you to videotape you do something stupid so they can send it to TMZ. I mean, that's the way of the world right now. So you'd be better off, especially during the football season, just to sit at home and literally hang out with your people. Because you can't trust anybody anymore. You can't. And stop putting yourself in those situations. I take Ubers myself, and it's never going to come up. This is never going to come up because I don't put myself in those situations. And, you know, he put himself in that situation. And then that's the worst part of it. He's got to be doing some growing up. And like I said, he's plummeted so far. Everybody was so proud that he stayed out of trouble and he this and that. And he's going to – I heard John Gruden say at the beginning of this season, Jameis Winston is going to be the MVP this year. It's a long way from that. That's a long way. And with this new allegations, and I don't know where it's going to go, I don't foresee anything happen. I don't know if they settle out of court. I don't know. But if it's me – and somebody accuses me of something that I didn't do, I ain't giving nobody any damn money. I'm not. I'd rather go down. I got to go. If I didn't do something, I'm not giving the money up. You got to take me down. You got to prove to everybody what I did. So I hope that he doesn't just throw some money out there and to silence these people because, you know, it's kind of buying them off. And I would rather you stand for something. Jason was saying earlier that maybe he should, you know, come back at her and sue her. That's not a bad idea. If she wrongly accused you of something, go back and sue her. I'd be okay with that. But right now, it's on the sideline yesterday. I didn't see a whole lot of emotion from him. I think he's spent, man. I think he's spent. You know, if you think about, you know, when little things happen and you know, you feel bad that everybody knows your business. Like when you're a professional athlete at that level, like of Jameis Winston, man, you think it's easy to put on the, you know, the news and your face is all over the place? That's not a great situation. So Jameis is going through a lot now, and he's trying to get himself healthy, and he's trying to figure out why he's soaring footballs, and he's got a lot of things on his plate. So I hope this all works out for Jameis, because we all thought the sky was a limit not too long ago. And it's, like I said, it wasn't long ago. Go back 4 or 5 weeks, Jameis was still the franchise. Jameis was still the future, and he still is. But he has to catch himself. And the unfortunate part is the amount of pressure to play in the NFL is about to ramp up for Jameis Winston, because Jameis Winston was a man. He was the man. He went to the Pro Bowl last year. I didn't think he deserved to go, but he went. Went to the Pro Bowl at the end of the year. Oh, my God, the Bucs are going to be the team to go to the Super Bowl and blah, blah, blah. Now you are, at this moment, struggling Jameis Winston. So if you're struggling Jameis Winston now and you go on the field and you play poorly, Dirk Cutter goes from Fitzpatrick way quicker. Way quicker. And for people that say, you know, Fitzpatrick, how do you think he's playing? Somebody asked me today on the air, how do you think Fitzpatrick's playing? I go, you're 2-0 with a backup? A. Your grade's A. It's hard to win with a backup quarterback in the NFL. Everybody knows that. And I'm not sure if Ryan Fitzpatrick's not one of the better backup quarterbacks out there. I thought he played well. I mean, for him to play winning football, you can't really ask for much more than that. I think he's tough, and I think he's a lot more athletic than people think he is. And he's played a lot of football. He's played a lot of football, and he's played a lot of winning football as well. And I don't see those bonehead mistakes that I'm seeing Jameis still making every once in a while. When Jameis is back, Jameis will be the man again, because Jameis is the future. And Jameis is still a competitor. And you know what? Sometimes when you look, you know, looking from the outside in, sometimes you look at yourself and say, maybe I could tone it down a little bit. Let me do this different. As a leader, let me do this different. And it usually works out for the better. But Jameis just has some growing up to do. We all do. And one day he's going to realize that, I mean, he's so high profile that you hiccup wrong and people are going to put you on blast. I hope nothing happened with that young lady. That's all I hope. Because, you know, I've been a Jameis Winston apologist somewhat, because people want to crucify him for what happened in college. And the unfortunate part is this is going to revamp the whole thing, and now people are going to start talking about that again, and crab legs and stuff. How many people wouldn't go get free crab legs? Ask me. Right now, if somebody said, hey, there's free crab legs at Publix, I'm going right now to get me some free crab legs. So you can't blame a college student for going to get free crab legs. I'd have been there every day getting free crab legs, especially the king crab legs, the big fat ones. That's what I'm talking about. So I hope Jameis has learned a little bit more about this other lesson. But you know what? You don't get that many strikes. And you're getting into the strikes now a little bit. There's a lot of different swinging going on and swinging and missing. And there's strikes. And it's too much. Because I'm telling you what, people are gonna abuse your name. They're waiting for you to fall. And you got to know that. When you're a star of your caliber, they're waiting to say, I told you so. So what you got to do is keep your damn self out of trouble and keep your nose clean. And then when you win the championship eventually, then you can flip some people the middle finger because they probably deserve it. But other than that, I'm hoping that Jameis Winston is maturing and he gets it a little bit more. Sometimes you got to kind of mess with rock bottom to start making good decisions. And he's not a rock bottom. But I guarantee when he woke up and knew this story was going to get out there, that's not a good feeling in the pit of his stomach. So I hope you learn from this whole thing. Anyways, I have two podcasts that I have. My second one is Flavor in Your Ear, And that one, we talk a little bit more politics. We talk about music, pop culture. And this one, In the Trenches, is just mostly football and then mostly Buccaneer football. I don't know if you guys are gamblers, but I did very well yesterday. All I did was bet against quarterbacks. There's some quarterbacks out there that are playing that Nathan Peterson from the Bills, I didn't bet against the Bills. I bet against him. Tyrod Taylor, they bench him, and this young kid comes in and throws 5 interceptions. 5. And 4 of them were his fault. I bet one of them wasn't. But bad. I mean, that is a hostile situation for any young kid to come in on a first start. You just don't play well on your first starts. Almost never. Almost never. So I just flat out bet against him, and he went there and he pooped the bed. And there's some really bad quarterbacking going out there. And there's some really bad football happening out there. The Browns are terrible. The Niners are terrible. There's some terrible, terrible football players, football teams out there. And there's some teams that look pretty damn good, too, and a lot of them are in our division, unfortunately. So it doesn't get any easier. It's definitely not going to get any easier. Like my fantasy team that I run into some crap every single week, I'm the worst fantasy player ever, I think. I had Kenny Stills on my bench. Good for you, jackass. Seriously. And either my players get ejected, or I had the Eagles kicker yesterday. I was down 5 points, had the Eagles kicker. And he gets a concussion. How many kickers get concussions? And then the Eagles went for 2 every time. How many kickers have... I've never heard of a kicker getting a concussion. Gets a concussion in the first quarter trying to make a tackle. What the hell are kickers trying to make tackles for? But yeah, that fantasy thing is not for me. I can't win a single week. I'm not doing it next year. Remind me next year not to do it, because it drives me absolutely bonkers. So the Buccaneers have a big game coming up. Falcons, it's a good football team, good football players everywhere, and that's tough sledding. And they, once again, they got to play a lot better than they played the last 2 weeks to get that done, because winning is going to be tough from here on. There's not another game. There won't be another game this year where the Bucs are favored. I'm going to make that prediction right now. They gotta come up to beat anybody that's on the rest of their schedule. It's a tough, tough schedule, that's for sure. If you guys want to get in contact with me, you can contact me, Ian Beckles at Radio Influence. And if you have any questions, you know, I'm good. I'm easy. I like football questions. It could be really questions about just about anything. So definitely contact me. And I appreciate you guys listening. The numbers are excellent. I know you guys love the Buccaneers like I do, and just football in general. So I'll be doing this every week, you know, throughout the football season. And you never know, I might even do it in the off season. There's always something going on, transaction-wise, combine, free agency, a lot of stuff like that. So people are tuning in to listen, so we definitely appreciate it. And let's hope the Bucs can win 3 in a row. That would be nice, right? 3 victory Mondays in a row. Everybody have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
Follow Ian Beckles on Twitter at Ian Beckles for all the latest on your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.